السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على أشرف الأنبياء سيد المرسلين نبينا حبيبنا وشفيعنا وقرة أعيننا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم وافتح علينا بمعرفة العلم وحسن أخلاقنا بالحلم وسهل لنا أبواب فضلك وانشر علينا من خزائن رحمتك يا رب العالمين. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد وصلي وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، welcome everyone to our I think our eighth session now on the absolute essentials. Last week we covered ghusl according to the sequence, the tertib of the book, and now today's lesson we'll be looking at wudu, ritual ablution, as it's translated into English generally. And so we'll be reading through the English text, and then we'll go through the sections, the parts, bit by bit, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So we won't waste any time, we'll get straight into it. The learned author mentions the following: the ritual ablution, wudu. And then he says, Allah Most High says, O you who believe, when you rise up for prayer, wash your faces and your hands up to the elbows, and wipe your heads, and wash your feet up to the ankles. So, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَاغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ وَامْسِحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ. So, when you intend to pray, then you must do some actions. And they include washing the face, the hands up to including the elbows, wiping the head once, and then washing your feet up to and including the ankles. And then it mentions Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, anyone who performs ritual ablution and does so well, the mistakes leave their body even from under their nails. من توضع فأحسن الوضوء خرجت خطاياه من جسده حتى تخرج من تحت أظفاره. So that's the hadith in Sahih Muslim, and it's, you know, it mentions the amazing means the wudu is to eliminate and remove sin by the fadl and the karam of Allah Azza wa Jal. Okay, the obligatory acts of ritual ablution. The obligatory actions of the ritual ablution are four: washing the entire face from the top of the forehead to the bottom of the chin in length and from earlobe to earlobe. Washing both arms completely up to and including the elbows once. Wiping a quarter of the head above the ears once. Washing the feet completely, including the ankles, once. The ritual ablution, a detailed description. The sunnah way to perform ritual ablution is to, one, make an intention in your heart, such as, I intend to perform ritual ablution for the sake of Allah. Two, wash the hands up to and including the wrists. Three, invoke the name of Allah, such as saying, Bismillah alhamdulillah, in the name of Allah, and all praise belongs to Allah. Rinse the entire mouth three times with three handfuls of water. Brush your teeth with a toothstick, miswak, or toothbrush. Rinse the nose three times with a handful of water each time. It is recommended to take water into the nostrils with the right hand and blow it out with the left hand. Wash the entire face. The face is defined as being from the top of the forehead to the bottom of the chin and from earlobe to earlobe. This is the first of the four obligatory acts of the ritual ablution. It is sunnah to wash the face three complete times. After this, pass wetted fingers through the beard, if long. It is recommended to start washing from the forehead. One should avoid slapping water onto the face, as this is improper. Number 8, wash your arms completely up to and including the elbows. This is the second of the four obligatory acts of ritual ablution. It is sunnah to wash the arms three complete times. After this, it is sunnah to pass the fingers through each other. It is recommended to start washing from the fingertips. Wipe a quarter of the head once above the ears. This is the third of the four obligatory acts of ritual ablution. It is sunnah to wipe the entire head, starting from the top of the forehead, and recommended to also wipe the back of the neck. Number 10, wipe the ears without taking new water. It is recommended to wipe the outside of the ears with the thumb, the insides with the index fingers, and to insert the little finger into the ear canal. 11, wash the feet up to and including the ankles. This is the fourth and final obligatory action of the ritual ablution. It is sunnah to wash three complete times and to pass fingers through the toes. It is recommended to start washing from the tips of the toes, to rub with the left hand, and to pass the little fingers through the toes, starting with the little toe of the right foot and ending with the little toe of the left foot. During the ritual ablution, it is sunnah to observe the above-mentioned order to wash the limbs successively, without undue delay, and to rub the limbs during the first washing. It is recommended to face the Qibla throughout the ritual ablution and to avoid splashing water onto oneself. It is improper to engage in worldly speech without need, to waste water, or to leave any of the sunnahs without excuse. Ritual ablution is nullified by the exiting of filth, najasa, or air from the private parts. The flowing of blood or pus from any part of the outer body, regardless of whether it comes out on its own or is made to come out. Vomiting a mouthful or more other than phlegm. Sleeping, lying down or reclining on one side. Loss of consciousness. Loss of intellect. Drunkenness. Laughing audibly in a prayer that has bowing and prostration. Intimate contact between a man and a woman such that the private parts touch directly. So that's the part of wudu explained. So the author mentions the integrals of wudu, and these are taken from the verse that we just mentioned. So there are four integrals of the wudu. So we have to wash the face, and the lengthwise demarcation is from the top of the forehead and then down to the chin. And then one earlobe to the other earlobe. Those are the dimensions, the parameters, the demarcations of the face, the wajh. So then the other, so that's the first obligatory act, the failure of which will invalidate the action. And then the second is to wash the two arms up to and including the elbows. Including the elbows is a there's a usul, there's a usul discussion here why the Hanafis include the elbows in. This is not the lesson for it. Wiping a fourth of the head. So washing, remember we said washing is when water is caused to flow over a particular area such that the water drips. And the aqal, the minimum, is two droplets. So if two droplets run down in a surface, that's considered minimally to be water washing. Now that is different from masah, or wiping. And wiping is to put a wet hand over a surface of the body, a limb, for example. So wetness, touching an area. that's considered to be wiping. So that means that, washing the entire face, the dimension top of the forehead to the bottom, two earlobes, water must flow on that surface, on those dimensions, that area. And then washing both arms completely up to and including the elbows. So again, water must flow from that area, that limb. Then wiping a quarter of the head. So a quarter of the head, which is like a size of a palm here. Doing that once is obligatory. So rubu'u ra's, a fourth of the head. And the demarcation of the head is that which is above the ears. That which is above the ears. So this bit wouldn't be considered the head. So if you had hair there and you wiped it, that wouldn't be enough. If you had long hair and then you just do that, you got a wet palm and just wipe the back of the hair, that wouldn't be the head. It's got to be from anything that goes from the top of the ears. So washing the 2 feet up to and including the ankles. Again, washing must mean that droplets, that there must be water flowing from the surface area of the feet. So that's the obligatory part. If that is done, then minimally wudu has been fulfilled. The integrals of wudu, or the obligatory aspects of wudu, to make it a valid act of worship minimally, doing that will then mean the wudu has been completed, i.e. it minimally satisfies the legal requirement, the shara'i obligation. Then there is the sunnah way to perform the wudu. So number one is to make the niyyah in the heart. And the niyyah, of course, has to be directed to Allah Azza wa Jal, because this is an act of worship. It's not just merely washing oneself, yeah? It's washing as an act intended for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's what makes it an act of worship. So in the beginning of the wudu, the first part of the wudu, when we wash the hands up to and including the wrists. We invoke Allah's name, so we say Bismillah al-Azim wa alhamdulillah ala deen al-Islam, and there are other statements, like utterances that can be made, invocations that can be made. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah, a sufficient beginning with Allah and praising Allah. So that's the tasmiyah, mentioning Allah's name. The rinse the entire mouth 3 times with 3 handfuls of water, 3 separate handfuls of water. Then to clean the teeth with a miswak, of course, or any other instrument used to clean the teeth, like a toothbrush, that will suffice. So the miswak then is the act of the sunnah related to the wudu, not the salah. So if you pray, if you use the miswak during wudu and pray, then one will get the reward that's mentioned about the miswak. The merits, inshallah, can be attained by someone who uses the finger and thumb if they do not have a miswak. Yeah. So then brush your teeth with a toothstick miswak or toothbrush, rinse the nose 3 times. With a handful of water each time. And again, it's not to snort it upwards, the water. It's not to. It's just making sure that some water reaches the soft part of the nose. The soft part of the nose here 3 times. And then, of course, to flush it out with the left hand. So water into the nostrils. And that will get it wet. And then with the left hand to blow it out, to flush out that excess water. Again, washing the entire face. We've defined what washing is here. And we've gone through the dimensions of the face. So I won't repeat that there. Once the face is washed, of course, if someone has a long beard, then the wetted fingers should be passed through the beard if it's long. Wet fingers through the beard. We have to do these acts of washing the face, washing the hands up to the wrists and including the wrists, washing the arms three times, washing the feet three times. And the tartib should be followed. The sequence of these acts should be followed. But if one didn't follow the order for some particular reason, the mom will be going against the sunnah, but they shouldn't do it. They should follow the sequence. Yeah. So as I was saying, they've got to do these acts three times. So to completely wash the limbs three times. And we have to remember here that if one washes a limb and it's still dry, the area that needs to be washed is still dry, that even if you use water three times and not all of the arm has been washed, that doesn't count as three washes. That counts, it wouldn't count as one, even one complete wash. Only until you've completely washed the limb does it count as one wash. So if I got three scoops of water, let's say, or I washed one, let's say I washed my arm using three times using water, but the whole arm, you know, isn't washed. There are parts that are still dry. That wouldn't be three washes. So we have to ensure that the surface area, the limb that must be washed, has water flowing over it. So it is washed, completely washed. One must continue washing from limb to limb following the sequence without the previous limb being dried up. So if one, let's say, begins washing the face, but shouldn't take so long as to then wash, one washes the hands and then take so long to then wash the face. By the time they wash the face, the hands have dried up. It shouldn't be like that. We shouldn't be engaged. We shouldn't be pausing such that the previous limb dries up. So we should attempt to keep the sequence and wash the limbs in succession. So wiping the entire head once. Wiping the entire head once. And then using the wet fingers to then rub the back of the ears with the thumb, with the index finger in the ear, like that. And then with the little pinky, baby finger, one just gets into the ear, part of the ear canal. I don't know if it's mentioned in here, wash your arms completely up to the elbows. This is the second floor. We wipe a quarter of the head once, or the ears. We said that it's sunnah to wipe the whole of the head. Yeah, we've done that. It's sunnah to wipe the entire head, starting from the forehead. Recommended to also wipe the back of the neck. That's correct. Wipe the ears without taking new water. Yes, it's recommended to wipe the outside of the ears with the thumb and inside with the index fingers. And then insert the little finger into the ear canal. Yeah, we said that. Wash the feet up to and including the ankles. Yes. Again, it's sunnah to wash three times from the tip of the toes up to and including the ankles. That's the same with when we're washing the arm. It starts with the tip of the fingers all the way and including the elbow. For the Hanafis, with the not the palm, but the back of our hand, we then wipe the neck, the nape of the neck, but not the throat. But not the throat, that is bid'ah. And that's mandub, but that's not sunnah mu'akkada, that's not an emphasized sunnah. That's recommended to do it. If someone doesn't do it, it has no effect on the validity of the wudu. Just mention what else is mentioned here. Number 12. Yeah, passing the fingers through, passing the little fingers through the toes, starting with the little toe of the right foot and ending with the little toe of the left foot. So in between the toes, one passes them through the gaps in the toes. And the same is done with the fingers as well for the wudu. So, you know, rubbing, making sure the fingers come in between the gaps of the fingers. That is sunnah as well. I'm not sure if it's mentioned here, but there are some adab or etiquettes of wudu. And an adab, according to the Hanafi ulama, is an act that the Messenger of Allah did once or twice, but he didn't establish a fixed practice by it. So if it wasn't to be done, you know, it itself is not sinful. There's no blame or sin in not doing acts that are classified as adab. So some people say, so adab is often synonymous with mandub or mustahab or something like that as well. So what is an adab, an occasional sunnah act, is istiqbal al-qibla, is facing the qibla, i.e. being in the direction of the Kaaba Musharrafa in Mecca al-Mukarramah, to avoid the water used in wudu from getting on one's body or clothes, to splash the wudu water all over one's clothes, to avoid that. It is adab, it is sunnah generally, although not an established one, to making dua with words that have been transmitted duas, what they call dua masnoon, or duas that are manqul, that have been transmitted. Mentioning the name of Allah when washing each limb, this is one of the adabs of wudu. Performing wudu by oneself, hastening to do wudu before the commencement of the actual time of prayer. Of course, this is all based on ability, right? It's all conditional on ability. Reciting the Shahadatain after the wudu. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. And if one has been using a container full of water that's drinkable, then with the leftover water, one can drink that wudu. Wudu water, the remaining water that's left over. Most people, particularly in countries where they have the luxury of running tap water, now this is not the case but those parts of the world where, you know, there is water that people use in utensils and in pots and, you know, other containers, they can do that if the water is drinkable. What are some of the dislike things in wudu? What they call the makruhat in wudu. And we said there are two types of makruhat. The makruhat fall under, we said there's the makruh tahriman, and this is the disliked category that is actually not allowed. And then there's the makruh tanzihan, or the disliked category that is not unlawful, but it's better not to do it, but it does not incur any sin. So makruh tahriman for the Hanafis is you must stay away from, you cannot do it. And the makruh tanzihan is better not to do it, but there's no sin in doing it, even if one doesn't have an excuse. And so what are some of these makruhat? Wasting water. So wasting, israf. Israf is considered to be using more water than is required to do the wudu. Using more water than is necessary to do wudu. So if someone keeps washing a limb excessively 4 or 5 times, or they just put their feet under the tap and they're just letting it run, their feet, you know, for a long time, that's considered to be wasting. It's not necessary for wudu to use that much water. Another of the makruhat is not to use enough water, i.e. one doesn't use enough water, so it looks like one is wiping rather than washing. So you're not using enough water for it to flow on the body. Rather, you're using such little water that's almost like as if you're patting yourself with water rather than water flowing from the area that needs to be washed, from the limb that needs to be washed. So if your washing during wudu resembles wiping, if your ghasl resembles mas, this is makruh. We shouldn't slap the face with water. We shouldn't whack the face or any part of the body with water. This is disliked. Because one can get water on their clothes, and that's not one of the adab is not to get the wudu water on one's clothes. And also, it's khilaful adab to slap the face. It's bad demeanor, and it's self-respecting. It demeans the self-respect of a Muslim. Unnecessary speaking during wudu. This is another of the disliked acts of salah. So if you're making supplications and dua, that's fine. But just speaking during wudu, like some people often do, and you know, without any reason, they might be sitting next to each other and doing wudu because there's taps in a row. Often masajid have taps in a row for flowing water, and people might be chatting about whatever they might be chatting about. One should not do that. One should avoid doing that. Unless one needs the assistance, one shouldn't get assistance in doing wudu. And like I said, unless there is a valid excuse to get assistance to perform wudu, then one shouldn't do that. So shouldn't get someone to do the washing and the wiping of their body, the limbs that need to be washed, unless there's a valid excuse. Of course, if there is a reason for someone to wash your limbs during wudu, then that's fine. But someone bringing water for you, that's not a problem. Like I said, often in countries where there is running tap water, this isn't a problem because water is flowing through the pipes in and out the taps. So there's no one needs to really bring water, like fetch water. So when someone brings, like if your children bring wudu for you, or the wife brings a wudu for the husband, or vice versa, there's nothing wrong in that. That's not makruh. We're talking about when you assist someone in washing the limbs that need to be washed. or wiping the limbs that need to be wiped. If someone does it for you, unless there's a valid excuse, one shouldn't do that. So the conditions required to do the wudu, like acts of ibadah, generally, so you got to be Muslim. You got to have reached the age of puberty. You must be sane. In the case of women, the menstruation and if they're given birth, the postnatal bleeding, you know, when that stopped, they could do wudu. Access to an ability of a person to use sufficient water to purify themselves. The ability to perform the salah. And so these are the conditions to perform the wudu. The other conditions for the validity of wudu to be valid are that the water has to cover the entire skin of the area that needs to be washed. So the face, the water must touch all the skin related to the area or the parameters or the demarcation of the face. Similarly for the arms, similarly for the feet. So i.e. the obligatory integrals, the fard of wudu, the areas that must be washed, the skin, water must completely cover the skin of those areas. So that would mean removing anything that blocks water from reaching the skin, the surface of the skin, right? Also wiping, actually, the skin as well. So anything that blocking the act of washing or wiping, that would invalidate the wudu. So these days, things like paints, polishes, nail polishes, or whatever it might be, that anything that blocks, any filth that blocks, or any object or barrier that blocks water reaching the skin, if that isn't removed, then wudu would not be valid. Wudu is not valid if while doing wudu, you do something that breaks the wudu. And we'll come on to that, the nullifications of wudu. So if someone is doing performing wudu and, you know, suddenly blood flows out of them through a cut or they break wind or something like that, then obviously that the wudu must be recommenced. So what is then that nullifies the wudu? We just mentioned here, anything that exits any filth that exits, any filth or air that exits the private parts, anything that flows, any filth such as blood or pus that flows on any part of the outer body. If flowing occurs, doesn't matter how it occurs, if it occurs, then that nullifies wudu. Vomiting, a mouthful. Sleeping, lying down or reclining on one side. Loss of consciousness, loss of intellect. Drunkenness, because if you lose your consciousness and intellect, then are you rational faculties, or you become mad, then the condition of performing wudu, one of them is that you must be sane. One of the conditions is performance is you must be sane. Drunkenness, of course, being inebriated is also a state that makes wudu invalid. When you laugh out loud in prayer, like the salah, if you start giggling or cackling or laughing, then that invalidates the wudu. And then the private part, so an erect penis and that touches a vagina, nullifies the wudu. But for the Hanafis, touching the private part does not nullify the wudu. So direct skin contact, if for the Hanafis, if my skin touches the skin of a person of the opposite gender, it does not nullify the wudu. So if I'm buying and selling and I put money in their hand, if my hand touches the hand, then my wudu is not invalidated. And if someone happened to touch their private part, for whatever reason it is, doesn't nullify the wudu. Okay, so there are three categories of wudu. The wudu that is done when you have to do it, it's obligatory. And when it's mandatory, wajib. So one is when it's fard to do wudu. Another time is when it's mandatory to do wudu. Another time it's that it's recommended to do wudu. So the obligatory fard instances of when we have to do wudu is, of course, for the ritual prayer, the salah. The sajidatul tilawa, when we come to a part of the Quran where the sajidah must be made, we must have wudu. Touching a verse of the Quran, touching an ayah kareema of the Quran. So we need wudu to touch that. So the Mus'haf Sharif, any part of the Mus'haf, you know, it's extended to Quranic translations as well, in other languages, not just the Quran in Arabic. It also includes actually other revealed books, like the Gospel, the Torah, the Zabur, all these books, even though they are munharif, they've been tampered with, yeah? So anything with the Quran on it, the Quran should not be touched unless one has wudu. There are detailed masail about this as well, but we haven't got time to go into it because there are some finer points here to be made. Okay, so those are the obligatory instances of doing wudu. The mandatory instance of doing wudu is when a person is in a state of, when a person wants to do tawaf around the Kaaba, or when they want to touch a book of tafsir. People say it's wajib to do wudu at that time. So when one intends to do tawaf, and when one wants to touch the books of tafsir, either to read them or study them or something like that. The instances when wudu is recommended, mandub, are when, for example, you want to study the books of fiqh or hadith, any of the venerated subjects within the Sharia, so out of respect for them, it is recommended to do wudu. To do wudu again, even if one has wudu, to do it again for the next prayer. So if we did wudu for one prayer and then another prayer time has arrived, to do wudu again is recommended, to renew the wudu. It is recommended to do wudu over a matter in which the fuqaha have differed over. So I mentioned that for the Hanafis, The skin touching the skin of an opposite gender doesn't nullify the wudu. Or if one touches one's genitalia for whatever reason, it doesn't invalidate the wudu. But it's better to do it in order to exit the difference of opinion amongst the fuqaha al-kiram. Before sleeping, it's recommended to do wudu. After waking up from sleep, it's recommended to do wudu. After one commits a transgression against Allah Azza wa Jalla, so after a sin, one is good to do wudu. May Allah protect us from sin. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. After laughing out loud, not during the salah, but outside, generally. Sometimes we might laugh so much that we keel over. We might laugh so loud that, you know, maybe tears drop out, stream down our eyes, or we're laughing so much our face changes color, or we lose a grip, we hurt, you know, our sides hurt. Whatever it is, if one starts, it doesn't have to be that intense, actually, but anyone who's laughing out loud a lot, then it's better to do wudu, it's mandu. So that generally is the very, very, very sort of basics of wudu we just covered. I'll stop there to allow you to have any questions and any points on what we've just covered. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Well, I guess if there's no questions, then bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we will continue with the section on salah, which is quite long. I hope to cover all of it next week, but it is quite long. I may not be able to cover all of it. If I do, then alhamdulillah, but it'll probably take a couple of sessions to go over it. So unless there's any more comments or questions, jazakumullahu khairan for your time and for attending and watching. Insha'Allah ta'ala, I'll see you next week, same time, and we'll continue with the salah. Jazakumullahu ala khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.